Ursula Hagee is the author of the New York Times bestseller, Stones from the River, and about a dozen other books. Born and raised near Dusseldorf, Germany, she emigrated to the United States at age 18. She is the recipient of more than 30 writing grants and awards. The fourth novel in her Bergdorf cycle, Children and Fire, tells the story of what happens when a gifted teacher in Germany becomes seduced by Hitler's propaganda and encourages her 10-year-old students to join the Hitler Youth. The author also narrates the audiobook edition, and she joins me now. Welcome, Ursula.
Thank you, Alan.
Now, it's been more than 15 years since Stones from the River was published and captivated critics and readers. Why do you think it remains so popular?
You know, I've asked that question myself. I still get a lot of letters from readers who want to know about the characters beyond what happens to them in the books. So there are four books now altogether in the Bergdorf cycle, starting with Floating in My Mother's Palm and then Stones from the River, then The Vision of Emma Blau, and now Children of Fire. When when Floating in My Mother's Palm came out, I had an interview with Bob Edwards on NPR Morning Edition, and he asked me, are we going to hear any more about these characters, this town? And I said, no, I'm done writing about this town, these characters. And I still remember leaving the building and standing on the sidewalk, and one of the characters, the dwarf woman, Trudy Montag, started knocking about inside my head, demanding her own story. And Stones from the River came out of that. And while I was working on Stones from the River, I started taking notes on The Vision of Emma Blau. And each time I think, okay, you know, this is it for the book set in Germany. Something else happens where I too really want to know what happens to this town beyond the endings or storylines of the other books. And Children and Fire came out of that too.
Very interesting. Now, in this book, Tekla Jansson, the teacher in Children and Fire, she believes that getting her students to join the Hitler Youth will be a step toward a better future for them. What's her rationale for that?
The rationale is, well, first of all, we need to look at the time. The book is set in one day. It's February 1934, and it's exactly 1 year since the burning of the Parliament building, the Reichstag. Hitler is just coming into power, and government employees, teachers among them, have to belong to the party, the Nationalsozialisten. They're coming out of a long, long period of poverty, and the promises that Hitler is making, have to do with equality, getting rid of the very complex social classes. Tekla actually is quite critical of Hitler's regime, but to keep her teaching job, she has to go along with some of the measures, like trying to get all the children into the Hitler Youth. And we have to remember that this is 1934, so we're very, very much at the beginning of Hitler's regime. In looking back, of course, you know, we can see what happened to those children. Those children ended up being the soldiers in World War II. But on this one day, which is the time frame of the book, these children are 10 years old. They are excited about joining a youth group where they'll have hikes and music, and where they'll sit around the fire and tell scary stories. And Tekla believes that she can go along with certain parts of Hitler's regime. She can advance her students through it, but she can remain critical. She believes in adapting, but holding on to her own moral courage. And of course, what happens within the course of that day is that her moral courage gets deeply, deeply shaken.
Well, it's the whole moral question about how a woman we admire can choose a direction that we don't admire.
I think you're absolutely right with that, because I write from inside Tekla's perspective. And for me, that was a major question in writing this book. How can someone who is a really passionate, good teacher guide her boys into a direction that will be so devastating for them? She doesn't know it yet on that certain day in February 1934. And she's accustomed ever since childhood to adapting. And it's this slippery slope of adapting too much. And within the course of this novel, first of all, let me say she has always taken her moral courage for granted. And in the course of this novel, this one day in 1934, she begins to question if you can really keep adapting and still count on your moral courage, or if you will have changed, if you will have become someone you didn't know before, if each act of adapting will take you one step further from yourself. And it in the book, I'm getting at a larger political picture too, a leader who promises the people of Germany, I will protect you, but in order to protect you, you have to give up certain liberties. And many of the people are, even though reluctantly, they're willing to do it. They're willing to adapt. And each step of adapting makes it harder to return to who they were before and what they believed in.
And with all of these themes, are you also saying something about present-day Germany, the United States?
The book for me came out of living in America and beginning to understand a lot more about what happened in Germany in the 1930s. In the first 8 years of the 21st century, I saw Americans give up liberties that stunned me. And I had always been very, very critical of my parents' generation, thinking and writing about it, saying that if only they had stood up, if only they had stood up early and protested, the Holocaust would not have happened. And I'm not comparing what happened in Germany to what happened here in the United States. What I am comparing is the early part of it, people getting drawn into fear, manipulation through fear, and a leader telling them, only I can protect you. And what I believed about speaking out against politics we don't believe in, I did that. I protested. I protested with my husband, my friends, and I was stunned that it didn't seem to make a difference. So this it made me look at my parents' generation in a somewhat different way, not in terms of the atrocities that happened, the murders, the Holocaust, but in terms of people letting or agreeing to have their liberties taken away from them. And of course, each step of giving up our liberties makes it more difficult to return.
Exactly. Now, there are so many interesting characters in this book. Tekla's mother, who works as a housekeeper, her Jewish employers, Tekla's mentally ill father, and of course the students who adore Tekla. Do you have a favorite character or characters in the book?
People ask me that, and for me it keeps changing. To write from the point of view of a character, I need to become the character. I need to write from inside the character's skin. So when I'm writing from Tekla's point of view, I am Tekla. When I'm writing from the point of view of a 10-year-old student, I am that 10-year-old boy. I feel what he feels. I know his longings. I know his fears. I know his rage. And when I was writing from the point of view of Trudy Montag, who was the central character in Stones from the River, and who is a secondary character in Children and Fire, I was Trudy. I was a dwarf. I was her height. I felt her. I felt whatever she was feeling. And I knew what it was like to be inside her body, even though I'm 5'7". Actually, sometimes after reading, people have said to me, "Oh, I thought you were a dwarf." And I say thank you, because I wanted to be authentic when I write. I needed to be authentic, and so I do become the character.
Very interesting. Thank you. And, of course, you've now completed the narration of the novel for the audiobook. Did you discover anything about the book or about your writing while recording?
It's a wonderful process to be able to record my own work, and I've done it with two other books of the Borgdorf Circle, of the Borgdorf cycle before, with Stones from the River and The Vision of Emma Blau. To read my work aloud is always rediscovering something, because the book I finished about a year ago, and I'm about to go on book tour, and as I'm reading, I'm thinking, okay, this is something I want to read on book tour. So in a way, it's discovering through the sound of my voice, reading these passages that I want to share with an audience beyond the audio.
That's wonderful. Well, thank you so much, Ursula Hage, author of Children and Fire and the narrator of the Tantor audiobook. We really appreciate your time today and wish you best of luck on the tour.
Thank you, Alan. It's been a really good experience working with you here.